Hey there, guys and gals, geeks and gamers. You're listening to the Nerd of Godcast, that place on the Venn diagram of life where Christ culture and nerd culture find sweet, sweet two-player co-op.
Hello, 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 and welcome to your Nerd of Godcast, that place where Christ culture and nerd culture come back together and they kick it way back, bringing back all the old cool stuff, and we're going to be doing that a little bit with you guys tonight. My name is Tony T, and for the next few minutes, we're going to be talking about all the things that make us geek out and give glory to God, but guess what, Jigawatt? I ain't going to be doing it by myself. He is the very best at being the very worst, the king under the mountain, the raging Cajun. Let's give it up for Steve-O Supremo.
I'm not really a cat. I don't know how to work this thing. I'm stuck as a cat.
We're on Zoom for this audio podcast, so I just want you to imagine Steven dressed up as the Rum Tum Tugger from Andrew Lloyd Webber's Cats. The nicest guy you'll ever want to meet until you're on the wrong side of a PvP match with him. Welcome, Jamaic and Ollie.
Yaman.
Sitting there in full-on daddy mode with his boy on his lap, it is our resident smart guy, Nicholas W. Sadler.
Hello.
Over for some reason wearing a cowboy hat, like I don't even know like what's going on
deep
over there.
Deep V neck
and the deep V, ladies. Let's often imitated and thank the Lord never duplicated. It's the big man Quentin Gregory Neff.
Howdy.
And he is Red Dead Redemption 3, kids. And and what? All the way from the ATL, welcome back. Talking about bringing back old stuff. She is, I don't even remember your introduction, but nobody knows how she got past security. It's the notorious JCC, Julia Cameron Collazo.
Hello from Georgia.
This is what happens when I just send out like a general Zoom invitation. Just anybody can jump in here. Yeah. We are so delighted to have you. Julia, what's new in your life? You got 15 seconds. Catch us up.
Oh gosh, nothing. I've just been working. Nothing crazy has happened with acting or anything yet. I say yet, because maybe it will. Hopefully it will. Wow, that's my update.
The important question is, have you gone to the Coca-Cola factory?
I did when Lise Mati and Nellie's came to visit. They really wanted to go.
Well, that's the touristy thing to do in Atlanta. You do that, you do the Olympic Village, and maybe you go see a Braves game or something like that. But we are glad to have you here. For me, I always recommend people go to the Varsity. What do you have? What do you have? What do you have? But whether you are in Atlanta or some other place, we are so glad that you have joined us tonight. The best way for you to stay in contact with us is to do it all across the social medias. Scotty Higa, tell them how they can do that.
Wherever there are people online who love Jesus and nerdy stuff, the Nerd of Godcast is there. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, X, Threads, TikTok, and YouTube at Nerd of Godcast. Become a supporter of this ministry at patreon.com/nerdofgodcast. You can also subscribe to our daily Nerd Devos on your favorite podcast app or on Alexa. Finally, join our online small group, the Nerd of God Squad, on Facebook by going to nogsquad.com. The Nerd of God Squad. Share some memes and live your dreams.
Well, that was not bad, but I wouldn't exactly call it the best thing ever. But this is the best thing
ever. It never works on its own.
Best thing ever is a bracket system where we let you, the Nerd of God Squad, vote for who did the best, who is the best. And in this season, we are talking about the best squads ever. And Neff, bring us up to speed. Who was our contestants last week, please?
Last week, we had the Straw Hat Pirates from One Piece.
Please, did anybody watch? Has anybody gone out and watched on my recommendation?
I have not.
What's wrong with
Sorry.
You?
Sorry,
Nate won't let me. He says I have to watch the animated one first.
Tell your son that you are the father. He needs to listen to you.
You also don't have time to watch 1,000 episodes of a TV show.
I'm saying
just to watch the live action remake.
Exactly.
All right, so we have the Straw Hat Pirates versus
the Toon Squad from Space Jam.
All right. My vote is for the Straw Hat Pirates. I think that's
my vote is for Toon Squad.
Really?
Toon Squad?
You 90s kids, man.
Julie,
who wasn't born when the first one came out.
One of them has a main character hero that has his super stretchy arms, and the other one is One Piece.
Okay.
Sorry, I fell asleep during that story. What happened?
Oh my gosh, whatever.
Wait, Julia, what year were you born in?
Stop. 97.
You were not born when the original Space Jam came out.
That's came out like 95?
96. November 96. 96. Yeah. Sorry, Julie.
I was born the year Hercules came out.
There you go. All right.
Well, anyway.
Who won?
By a percentage of 61% to 39%.
Mm-hmm.
The Toon Squad takes the W.
Okay. Oh, wow. All right. Yay. Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Shocking.
Hard to beat Bugs Bunny. But if Bugs Bunny can outsmart Mickey Mouse, then...
Well, that
Bugs
brings
Bunny
us
and Bill Murray.
This brings us to the round two of our brackets. We've now eliminated half of our contestants. We're in round two, which is going to be Ghostbusters versus Guardians of the Galaxy, Toon Squad versus the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the gang from Avatar: The Last Airbender versus the Fellowship of the Ring, and this upcoming week, where you can vote for this, is the kids from Stranger Things versus the Bad Batch.
Whoa.
So how can they vote for this, Neff?
They can go to our Facebook page, Nerd of God Squad, and they can vote on who they think should be
the best thing ever. All right, you guys, I'm so glad to have you guys here. We are going to get right into it tonight with a quick game. Now, Julia, you're going to have to figure out how to do this on your own without a pen and paper, but hopefully everybody else has one. This is a game that we played all the way back, I think, in season one or two. So we're going to be bringing back an old thing tonight. And this is a game called Linky. You guys remember how this one worked?
Oh, Linky, yeah. This is a good game.
So. Yeah, so
I can explain it if nobody else knows.
Okay, go for it, Steven.
All right, so Tony will be giving us a different small, like, bite-sized trivia questions. We have to write the answers down. And each of the answers is going to link us to the overall theme of the question. So, like, for example, that I think we use every single time, Kanye West's daughter's name is?
North.
And then in The Wizard of Oz, the Wicked Witch was from the?
West.
West.
And then the relatively decently priced airline is blank west.
South.
South.
And you, when you figure it out, you say Linky, and then you say what all of the answers would be. Those would be directions.
Directions. So, yeah. So your goal is to try to find the overarching clue. So there's 10 of these things. If you want to write them down, that'll make it a little bit easier. Here we go. So four questions adding up to one big answer. This is number one. A removable paper cover wrapped around a hardback book is also known as a what jacket? It's a removable paper cover wrapped around a hardback book known as a what jacket?
Wait a second. We're past 2015. That's ancient history.
What are you? Number two. What kind of creature is a guppy? What kind of creature is a guppy? Number three. The book What and Peace is a novel by Leo Tolstoy, first published in 1869. Blank and Peace is a novel by Leo Tolstoy, first published in 1869.
Linky?
Steven?
These card games?
No.
Like, okay.
No, they're not. Oh. Good guess. Good guess. All right. And number four, which word describes a major hike across a challenging terrain?
Oh, Linky.
Neff.
Types of stars. Stardust, Starfish, Star Wars, and Star Trek.
You got it, Neff. That's correct.
Point
to the big man. You get the idea. All right, here we go. Next one. A group of dolphins is known as a blank. Number two, a young and eligible man might live in a bachelor blank.
Linky.
Steven.
Are these Apple eye products?
They are eye products. We have an iPod and an iPad.
Nice.
Next one would have been phone and tunes. Great job.
Good job.
The 80s British band who wrote Relax was called Who Goes to Hollywood? The three main minions are Bob, Stewart, and Who. What is sometimes used?
Linky.
Steven?
Jonas Brothers.
They are Jonas Brothers. Frankie and Kevin were what we had so far.
I only know Frankie because of there's a reality show where you have to guess who people are related to, and he's on the show.
Okay. Nobody needed that little bit of information, but now we're all a little smarter about Steven's TV watching proclivity. All right, Steven, you're out of this round, so other people can play. Number one, what is a collective name for a group of lions? Number two, this South American mammal is famed for moving very slowly.
Oh, Linky.
Oh, yeah. No.
Deadly sins.
No.
They are the deadly sins. We had
Pride and sloth.
Pride and sloth. You got it. All right. Which silent movie star lost a look-alike contest as himself? Which WWF wrestling champion was responsible for Hulkamania in the 80s? What actor starred in Deliverance and Smokey and the Bandit? And which video game character, based on an Italian plumber, began life as Donkey Kong's mortal enemy? To the list again. What silent movie star lost a look-alike contest as himself? Which WWF wrestling champion was responsible for Hulkamania in the 80s? Who starred in Deliverance and Smokey and the Bandit? And which video game character, based on an Italian plumber, began life as Donkey Kong's mortal enemy?
I think I know what it is, but I want to give everyone else an opportunity.
I don't know any of the answers.
Wait, you don't know any answers?
I know one of them.
Do you know?
Is it not Mario?
It is Mario. Number four was Mario. You don't know number two?
What was number two again?
The wrestler that was responsible for Hulkamania.
Kind of in the name there.
You don't know of a wrestler named Hulk something?
No.
Julia.
Wow.
Hulk what? Julia.
Hogan?
Hulk Hogan, yes. All right, so we got Hulk Hogan, we got Super Mario. Who starred in Deliverance and Smokey and the Bandit?
Was that Burt Reynolds?
It was Burt Reynolds. And who? What silent movie star lost a look-alike contest as himself?
Charlie Chaplin.
It was Charlie Chaplin.
Are these MASH characters?
No.
MASH? Like MASH? I don't know.
No.
Like, I didn't know if you were just going by the first names or not.
Nope. We got Charlie Chaplin, Hulk Hogan, Burt Reynolds, and Super Mario. What do they all have in common?
Oh, I know what it is now. They all have mustaches.
Yep, they're mustache people.
All right.
Okay. We got time for just a couple more here. Okay. All right. Sometimes this day is referred to as Hump Day. If you abandon a friend, you leave them in a what?
Linky.
Ollie?
Adam's family members?
Adam's family members. We got Wednesday and Lurch.
Wow.
Very, very good. All right. This is a redheaded Academy Award-winning actress who played President Coin in The Hunger Games. Julianne Hough. This is a famous film in which Tom Cruise yells, "Show me the money." Jerry, what? Which lazy cat loves lasagna and hates Mondays?
Linky. Well, Nick, you go ahead.
Are they all presidents?
No.
Oh, I'm glad I let you go because that was my guess, too.
Linky.
The Netherlands is also known by what other name?
Linky.
Neff.
These are all Spider-Man.
They're Spider-Man. Explain it to us.
Shameik Moore, or Julianne Moore.
Uh-huh.
Shameik Moore, Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, and Tom Holland.
There you go. Very good. That was a tough one. Okay, complete this proverb. Blank no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. What are you drinking if you ask for oolong or Darjeeling?
Sucking down Darjeeling with
What is the wooden pole used by pool players called? And what can be split, chick, or black-eyed?
Steve Alinky.
Steve Alinky.
These letters in the alphabet.
They are letters. C, no evil. T, Q, and P. All right, and I think that is that's all time we have. Steven was obnoxiously good at this game, so great job.
I held back. I wasn't trying to steamroll everybody.
It's
that makes me feel better, on that last Steven, thank one. You.
Yeah, but he didn't know anything about mustaches. That's his problem. And also, for some reason, Moore was a president for him, except for his president coin, I guess. Well, thank you guys for playing this game. We're going to get into our conversation tonight. So the Spider-Man 2 game came out in October, I believe, right? For yes. The PlayStation 5. You guys, some of you guys have played it, I assume. I played it. I played the heck out of it and enjoyed it very, very much and beat it. You platinumed it, right? Is platinum a verb?
I got all the trophies.
Yeah. It was a very, very fun game. And there was a lot of content, a lot of things to see. Well, I got really excited the other day because they made an announcement that there's a huge new update to this game. Have you seen it, Neff?
I have, and I've enjoyed it.
So tell us, just catch us up real quick on what this update was.
They released finally a new game plus.
So it's a big DLC. When the game ended before, it was just over. And now with new game plus, you can go back and play it a second time. With all of the unlocks, all of the costumes, all of the powers, which is great because now you can go back and enjoy the city, explore the city, but you can do it with all the cool costumes and all the cool stuff that you unlock.
Yeah.
And not only that, but they've also increased your maximum level cap. They've given a whole bunch of new things that you can sort of unlock within the game and even some new costumes. And I feel like it really breathed new life into the game for me. It made me go, absolutely. Oh, I haven't played this in a couple months, but now I want to go back and play it some more.
Same. I literally just put in like 2 or 3 hours last night, just because I had to set it up so I was playing with the costumes that I wanted to play with.
Yeah.
So I could set it up with those characters, and it's so cool seeing those costumes in like the opening cutscenes and like where you didn't have those unlocked at the beginning of the game. So it's so cool to see them in that. And playing with your full power set, even though you're totally OP against like the little gang members that used to give you the ring around or whatever, now they it's so easy to take them down. But it's
and
so
don't think
fun.
Yeah, I'm not too big of a man to go around and absolutely manhandle just street criminals, okay? I'm gonna put on that black suit and I'm gonna go in there and just absolutely wreck shop on them. So I don't think that I have any moral quandaries with that. It really is fun, but the idea that they were going to give me a new reason to jump back in, a new motivation to re-download a game that I hadn't played for quite a while was kind of fun, because I went back in and I realized, oh yeah, this is why I love this game. This game was so great. It was a fresh look at something that was very familiar. And I wanted to ask you guys tonight, is there any games or properties, franchises, whether it's maybe a book, a show, something that maybe something has breathed new life into or kind of caught your attention or given you a nostalgia kick that you said, I'm going to go back and I'm going to dive into this thing again, even though I haven't played it, looked at it, read it, or engaged with it for a while? Anything that sort of has come back into your focus or into your routine after maybe being out of circulation for a while?
Yes for me. The new Fallout show, which I watched the new trailer for it, and I don't know who would have something negative to say about it. It looks splendid.
Probably Liz.
but it makes me want to go back and play, I guess, only Fallout 4, because I don't have a PS3 anymore, and the PS4 is not backwards compatible. But I also never finished the story on Fallout 4 because I was just busy exploring and doing side missions and everything. So it's making me want to dust off the old Fallout 4 and finish the story.
And lots of great DLC for Fallout 4.
Oh yeah. Yeah, good DLC too for Fallout 3. I actually had like one of the main DLC packs for it, and then something happened and I had like a glitch, and the one person that I needed to have with me to go, that's supposed to not be a killable character, just disappeared. Just like glitched off the game, so I can't finish the DLC.
And that's where Steven got his abandonment issues from.
Well, there's other reasons too, but that's one of them.
Yeah, Fallout was great. Now, I know you love that game. You were playing that. I mean, my goodness, when did Fallout 3 come out? Like
15 years ago.
Yeah, I was gonna
say, think it was 2008, 2009. I've been playing Fallout for 15 years.
And so you haven't played it for a while, and now it's kind of caught your attention again. It's back in the forefront of the conversation. It's like, oh, let's go back and see what's going on in Three Dog's world.
Oh, I miss Three Dog.
Yeah.
I need them to do an HD remake of Fallout 3.
I'm sure it's coming.
But probably only on the Xbox.
Anybody else, something that maybe you hadn't played for a while, you just said, hey, I'm gonna go dust this off and jump back into it?
Recently Doctor Who.
Who?
I believe they just got a new doctor, and I've been kind of interested to see like kind of what's going on with Doctor, because I haven't watched Doctor Who in years, because I wasn't that into it after the main writer Stephen Moffat kind of left the show.
Yeah.
So I haven't been really watching it that much, but my mom was telling me, hey, I would like to watch Doctor Who with you. So we've been kind of watching it from Christopher Eccleston on, and kind of nice to revisit all that. And I'm falling back in love with Doctor Who again.
Love that.
Cool.
Now the new doctor, I don't want, does it, has anybody seen him in action yet?
I think I've just seen a picture of him. I haven't seen anything.
I've seen the trailer for him, but he's flamboyant.
So I don't know how to pronounce the actor's name, so I don't even want to try it, but it's like there's too many vowels, or not enough vowels, too many consonants, but it's like Nkuti Gatwa. I don't know. I'm going to say it wrong for sure. There needs to be like a Google article of how to pronounce the new doctor's name. I have a hard enough time with Eccleston, right? But
yeah, I only figure out how to say their names once I actually get to watching them.
Gotcha.
So I haven't gotten to them yet. I haven't even finished Jodie Whittaker's time. So I'm really excited to get to that point with my mom, so we get to watch it together and watch it all unfold. So
I think it's cool, and that's probably one of the reasons that they bring in new doctors, is to kind of stir up interest and get people to all want to see, okay, how's this performer, how's this actor or actress going to bring new life to the character. Ollie, a game that you play a lot is Destiny. And they're constantly coming out with new content for Destiny. Is that something that when, oh, they're going to drop a new storyline pack, you just like, I got to pick up the controller, I got to get back into it right now?
Actually, with that game, I never put down the controller. I'm playing it.
Tireless and faithful.
Every week. They actually just added it boils down to a hoverboard in the game.
Oh, that's right.
Which is pretty cool. But what I was going to say, it's actually not a game, but I started finally watching Dragon Ball Super after not watching any Dragon Ball for a really long time.
Nice.
And I'm starting to get into it. You know, unfortunately, you know, we all know the creator did just pass away. So,
yeah. R.I.P.
R.I.P. and peace to his family and everything. But yeah, I've been getting into that and seeing how they changed and everything after the Buu saga ended.
That's really cool. That's so that's something that we all watched Dragon Ball Z back in the day, and then we were you were kind of done with it. It's, I think, very few people went on and watched GT and went on and watched kind of like the follow-up stuff. So there, that's cool when a new thing comes out. It's like, hey, I'm gonna go look at this again. Maybe it's been a while. I saw somebody yesterday, and maybe I'm talking to the wrong people here, Oliver or Nick, but I was driving behind somebody yesterday and they had a sticker on the back of their car that had the Pokemon Go logo, and it said their friend number underneath it. And I'm like,
okay,
I feel like I might just add this person as a friend. Yeah. Like, it was just like, they put their number out there. I'm like, that's kind of a cool way to get
that's
people
almost
to...
like me putting my second account on Twitter and just seeing, just seeing what happens.
That's easy presence right there. Easy.
Yeah. Well, there was a thing where you get a special Pokemon, or there was like a task where you had to hatch eggs from a certain distance away.
Oh, wow.
So people were posting their friend numbers on Twitter, and I got people in like Japan and Ireland and all this other stuff. So if you open a gift from them, you would get an egg, from their location.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you would get, you know, eggs, you know, thousands of kilometers away, and that's how people would get that task.
I think games like that are really smart when they will bring something new in that makes kind of faithful people that can maybe slow down, because Pokemon Go is like 8 years old now, right?
Yeah. There's so much new stuff. I don't know if you've been on recently. But
sometimes I jump onto games like that and I'll go, no. Like this was my problem with No Man's Sky, which was, I love No Man's Sky when it came out, when nobody liked it, but then they added so much stuff to it. And now everyone's like, No Man's Sky is absolutely amazing. And I jumped on and played it and said, oh, it's too much. I don't know. I wouldn't even know where to start now. Like I'm going to have to just restart the entire thing.
I don't know this world.
So much to learn. I don't know this world. Yeah. And it's a little overwhelming. It's a little overwhelming. Julia, you're not really a talker right now because you're driving your car and we want you to be safe. But has there been something that maybe you were a fan of that you got away from for a while and then you said, you know what, I'm going to go back and take a fresh look at this. I'm going to play this. I'm going to read this. I'm going to watch this for the first time in a long time.
Well, this is a little bit further back, but there was this game called The Stanley Parable.
Love The Stanley Parable.
Did you know that maybe, I guess probably a year ago now, they made an update to that game?
Yeah, it's a whole sequel to it.
It was like a whole other game. And so I don't play a lot of video games, but I like to watch people play video games.
Okay.
Online. And that was when that I was like, oh my gosh, there's so many new things.
Yeah. The funny thing is about the Stanley Parable is the sequel is built into the middle of the actual original game. So you can make choices in the original game that will lead you to the Stanley Parable 2, which is inside the middle of the Stanley Parable. It's such a cool, mind-bending game. I'm so glad you brought that up because now it's been a long time since I played it, and now I'm going to go out and I'm going to play the Stanley Parable now. I need to go, I need to go back to that world. Yeah. I did the same thing not too long ago with Portal. I downloaded Portal on my Switch, and I'm like, dang, I haven't played this in years, but this game is still so good.
I did the same thing. I loved it.
It holds up.
I love Portal.
It holds up. And so now I've got the PlayStation Plus membership, and I've got the fancier one that gives you access to all these old games. So I'm going through, and that didn't work out for me. Some of those old games just did not age well. But I love going back and playing classic games, re-downloading things that the other night I was really stressed. I was having a very stressful evening, and I needed a game that was like medicinal. I needed a game that was just, this is a zen, chill, no. And so I put a message out, I think, on Nerd of God Squad, and I said, hey, what's a real chill game that you guys play? Something to kind of get you in a zen state of mind. And some of the answers that came back, some of our Nerd of God Squad members need some help. They need some help.
Is it God of War 3?
Like, so I put out, what are some video games that give you a stress-free, zen-like feeling?
Black Ops Zombies.
BJ Hyatt put Dark Souls. BJ Hyatt is wrong. He's not right.
He's just built different.
Yeah. Amanda Lee Nieves put on there Spyro the Dragon.
Aww.
Fun, cute, and quirky. Not zen. Like, not zen. Austin Moore put stress equals fun. Austin Moore is wrong. Andy Murphy and our own MegaCon Liz both put Skyrim on there. I don't know about that.
I think you can make Skyrim zen, but Skyrim overall is not zen.
No, the minute you hear like that attack music, but you don't know where the attack is coming from, or a dragon comes flying over you, like that's too much for me. Too much. Yeah. Some of the great games that were put on there, though, that were very, very, like Animal Crossing is very chill, very zen.
Yeah.
Stardew Valley, very, very chill. The one Tetris, I don't know about that, Rodney Cannon. Tetris stresses me out too much. But the
what
game,
about
Sims? The you said The Sims?
Absolutely, that's my favorite game.
Sarah Johnson put The Sims 4 on there. The Sims stresses me out though, because end up like I have to pee and I can't pee because I didn't build a door to my bathroom, or my kitchen catches on fire, or they come take my baby away. Like
exactly,
the Sims, I'm bad. Oh, wow. At
Sims. I fell in the pool. I
the
forgot
Sims
to build a
ladder. The Sims makes me feel like I shouldn't be responsible for my own life as a human.
Plus, unless you know the cheat code to get unlimited money, you have to, like, it's stressful because you can't do everything you want to do.
Yeah.
Or testing cheats enabled true. You can make all of your needs static, so you never have to do anything. You can just, like, level up your skills and be like an astronaut or something. It's really fun.
That's what I need for real life. I need the Lord to give me that ability in real life. Just throw it in, like, just chill mode. Just let, you know, level out my stats and just, like, just let me do life, man. Maybe that's
no. What he knew you needed to be powerful.
Sonia Maria Drewliner said the right answer for me, and I went and I re-downloaded the game Flower. Do you guys remember Flower for the PS1?
Yeah,
You are just flower petals drifting in the wind.
So good. Oh. So nice.
Blowing across grassy hills and accumulating other flower petals in your wake. And that is the whole game. You don't even push buttons. You just tilt the controller to control the breeze as your flower petals drift on a zephyr-like cloud of wind. And it's like, that is what the game is. And I needed that. I downloaded Flower. I played it and I went, my goodness, it's like, I don't know. Like, it's like a nice warm bath of a video game experience. So sometimes you go back to things and you go, oh, I forgot. Like, I forgot the feeling that this gives me. I forgot the whole benefit of this kind of thing. Well, I don't want to take this thing too serious of a point or anything like that, but I run into people so many times in life and in ministry that will tell me, oh, I grew up going to church. We had a guy that was an electrician the other day. Our lights, Oliver broke the lights in our church.
Sir?
On purpose.
Wait, no. So let me just make my case here.
Gentlemen.
We're at the beginning of the service and Oliver turned the lights off. At the end of the service, Oliver turned the lights on and they didn't turn on. So tell me where, Oliver, somebody else is responsible for that.
When you put it like that, it does sound like it's my fault.
Okay, at least so now we're on the same page.
It was Honeybee Bun.
It was not. There was actually a disconnect in the ceiling. Something happened, and it just happened to happen while Oliver was in the room. So, but we called an electrician to come over and take a look at it. And I messaged him, and he came out to the church, and he began telling me, when we were walking from my office to the sanctuary, I said, we'll turn left here. And he goes, oh, I know where your church is, where your sanctuary is. And I'm like, okay. And he told me that he's like, I grew up in this church. I put the tile down on the floor in here. I did this. I did that. He said, my dad went to this church. I went to this church. I played guitar in the worship band in this church. And he began telling me, like, that this building, not our church specifically, because our church started, just over 2 years ago, but the building that we were in, he grew up in that church. And it was so surreal. And he'd been out of it for a long time. You know, he's like, you know, I've not really been a part of this. You know, I've been away from God. I've been away from whatever. And it was just a really unique interaction to see somebody kind of come back to that. But I run into people all the time that tell me the story of, I used to go to church. I used to go to youth group. I used to attend all the time. And then I can't see a version of me, a future version of me, where loving Jesus and church is not part of my story. But clearly that's something for a lot of people. You know, some of you guys have friends that you went to youth group with. I do too. That used to go to church and then just they just don't anymore. In a post-COVID world, you know, the numbers were how many people went to church and then just stopped after COVID. So I was just kind of thinking, like, this is far too common for people to have a walk with God, to have a relationship with God, and then just sort of evaporate away from it. What do you guys think about that, or what's your experiences with that? How do you think people get to that point where they, where God and their faith becomes something they used to do, where Jesus becomes someone they used to know?
I know a lot of friends that I have, especially when I was in high school, a lot of them grew up going to church, and they had negative experiences with it. They thought it was boring. They didn't like it, even though they went like every week with, you know, their parents. They went to church every single week. They were built on that faith, but they didn't like the experience of going to church. They didn't like how it made them feel, you know, fire and brimstone every week. They didn't like church. And so when they became adults, they were like, I'm not going to go to church anymore. If I have the option to not go to church, I'm just not going to go to church anymore because I don't, because there's no reason for, I don't want to go there because I've had so many negative feelings come up while I'm at church. Then there's no point in me going.
I'm sure that it exists. I'm confident it does. It's not been my experience to be in a fire and brimstone church, but I hear those words so many times as people's kind of reasoning of like condemnation. And maybe I'm an insider. Maybe it is like that every week and I just don't know. I don't see it. I don't know it. But I think that the vast majority of modern churches, even evangelical churches, are not like that. And I could be completely wrong. What are your perspectives on that? Do you think that people can have a negative experience in church, even if we're having what we would consider as a positive church experience?
I think that in some instances, there are both extremes to that argument. You know, there's the fire and brimstone. And then there's also some churches that I think they don't actually say much. I have, now that I'm like shopping for churches here, have noticed that a few churches that I've gone to have been very like, they don't even really preach the gospel. They kind of are just like feel good churches. And I feel like when you're not exposing people to the message of the gospel, to God in a way that is, you know, this is the whole truth, and maybe you're just sprinkling in some things here and there, that doesn't really change or help anybody. So I think that some of the experiences that I've seen people being hurt by the church, or on the other extreme, not really knowing what the church stands for, I think is dangerous, because they could be in church their whole lives and then leave the church and see like nothing's changed. And that is just a shame. But I've seen that. I think that a lot of the times when people, you know, have gone to church, like, oh, I used to go to youth group, or, oh, I used to really be involved, even like serving, I question how much they knew Jesus. And that's not a knock on them. That's really kind of disappointing of their leadership, I think. I had a friend once that had done just that. He had served in youth group, he'd played drums for years. And I sat with him one time and I was like, you know, we did a little Bible study kind of impromptu. And I just basically stated the gospel and he started crying. He had never heard it. It was the wildest thing. I was like, didn't think that this was going to be like a new thing for you, but I was telling him all these truths from the Bible, and he started weeping. He was like, wow. What? And that to me signals so strongly that there's some mess ups, not just in leadership, because, you know, it's like definitely a group effort, but if people aren't bold enough to speak the truth of Christ, then like that's not going to make anyone change. It's going to actually hurt people.
And that's a tough one to hear. Thank you for sharing that, because I think that there are people that do experience hurt or offense at church. I get it. I mean, I've been, because I'm a person, and I open my mouth sometimes before my brain has fully warmed up. I will say things that could potentially be hurtful. Maybe not meaning to be, but all of us can do that. Maybe sometimes when you have a pulpit, or when, you know, you are in the position of speaking for God, the things that maybe all of us have the potential to do hurt more or weigh more. So I get that. And I do think that there are probably people that just never knew that they were in church the whole time, but they never were able to have a personal relationship with God. And that's a tough one too. But sometimes somewhere in the middle, you have people that do believe, but they experience a loss of connection or a disillusionment with their faith community or their church. Do you think it's natural for individuals to question their beliefs, maybe even to the point where they eventually leave their church if they find disconnects or discrepancies?
Well, there's a big trend now of deconstructing your faith, which basically, from what I understand, is us trying to look at all the quote unquote inconsistencies there are with Christianity, which I would say with Christianity, yes, there are inconsistencies because people are inconsistent. However, God is not inconsistent in his word. He's not inconsistent in what he does. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But I think a lot of it, at least in my experience with people that I grew up with, is people still want to do their own thing and want to have that be okay when it's not okay. They tend to choose their own ways rather than choose to sacrifice and to follow God. Similar to like the rich young ruler, when he asked, you know, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, you know, give up all your belongings, like make a sacrifice, and he couldn't do it. You actually said this morning in church, Tony, that he was looking for the way while actually talking to the way and just didn't decide to move forward with that. There were lots of people that I grew up in youth group with that, and I was one of them at first, where I was going to church on Wednesdays and Sundays and still living my own life outside of church and still kind of doing my own dumb, sinful stuff, and got to the point where I really felt God like tugging on my heart, saying like you need to do something different. Like, you need to make the sacrifice, take up your cross daily and follow me. And it's not going to be easy. And I lost friends because my friends didn't want to stop doing that. And they stopped going to church because sometimes people feel like church is a place where they tell you what not to do. But again, like, not to keep just harking on what you've said at church this morning, Tony, but you said a lot of good things this morning. You know, God will give you the desires of your heart, but he'll likely change the desires of your heart to match his plan for you. Yeah. And then those desires will match God's plan. So sometimes we don't want to give up our desires because we want what we want. We want God to be our genie and not be our God.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So you know, the theme of today being, we're going to go back to the thing that we were a part of before. I'm going to re-download that game. I'm going to pick up that book. I'm going to get back into that series or game nights. You know, we used to play game nights at my house all the time, and we just kind of got away from it. But you know what? I didn't stop buying games. I didn't stop liking games. So we just decided a couple weeks ago, hey man, we're going to have a game night. We're just going to, you know, invite some people to come over. We're going to play some tabletop games. And we did, and we had a blast. And it was like, let's start doing this again. I forgot that I loved this. I would love if more people would have the feeling that they were welcome, the feeling that they were wanted, that someone would express to them, like, look, if you've been hurt or if you had a hard time with this, that's okay. That's kind of normal. That's part of it. It's a really big thing to kind of take in. And sometimes we're not maybe in the place where we have the capacity to take it all in or to take it in a balanced way or to retain it or to apply it. Sometimes we're in the wrong place, even if it's a place of faith. Sometimes we're with the wrong people, even if it's a place of faith. Julia, I know, and I'm certainly not trashing anybody because you would never trash anybody either, but you just said you were shopping for a new church. Even though you've been in Atlanta now for a year, you were connected with the church, but even though it was a good pair of shoes, it just wasn't your size, you know, and now you're looking for something that fits you, something that although it doesn't need to compromise the gospel or the message to make you feel accommodated, it just needs to match your pace and your particular idiom, right? So I think it's okay for people to maybe not have to throw out the baby with the bathwater when it comes to like, okay, it didn't work for me. Maybe the place that you were in, maybe the place that you were in your life wasn't just, it just didn't line up. But down the road, and maybe even now, you're in a place where you can say, okay, it's time for me to approach this again. There's still good things there. I'm going to take a second look. I'm going to see now if there's something else I could have gotten out of it. Is there a possibility for individuals who have left the church to reconcile and return?
100%. 1,000%. The story of the prodigal son for a reason. Jesus says, I'll leave the 99 sheep to go get the one for a reason. I don't think anybody should be turned away if they want to come back.
So what steps could be taken by both the individual and the church to facilitate that reconciliation, that healing?
The individual side is probably just getting over pride. I think pride stops a lot of people from like wanting to come back, but like, oh, like if I come back, I'm going to look weak. Or if I come back, you know, it's going to be awkward because, you know, I haven't been there in so long.
Church is awkward. Just for the record, church is just good. It's just awkward. We're awkward. Yeah. The Bible never promises that we're going to be like the cool kids. We're an awkward institution, and the things that we do by all typical metrics it's weird.
The one thing that I would say that the church could do, and not necessarily like in a, preparation way, but one thing that at least I've noticed that our church does, Tony, is whenever we've had somebody who hasn't been there in a while or somebody hasn't been there in years, like that maybe we know from years and years and years ago, the moment they step in, it's like, oh, it's like you never left. Like, really glad to see you. How are you doing? You know, let's just welcome this person as if they're family.
That was my favorite thing about being a long-term youth pastor. You know, I served in youth ministry for 24 years and I did it all at the same church. So it was the one of my favorite things to see somebody that had maybe been there in sixth or seventh grade, maybe kind of fell off, you know, later on, that 10 years later, 15 years later, even 20 years later would come back and say, oh, hey, I went to youth group there, and they would still find me at the church. We have people at our church now that were in our youth group that we had a relationship with that fell, you know, kind of fell away or lost their interest or kind of cooled off a little bit. And then later on in life, when the position was right again, when everything did line back up again, they said, hey, I'm going to go to a place where I know I'm loved. I'm going to go to the last place. I'm going to my last save point in this game. And I might have been out of it for a little while. I might have forgotten what the buttons do. But the nice thing is they jump back in. And like Steven, like you said, there's people that are still around them that know them and love them, whether they are familiar with them or whether it's a new generation of people that can know them and love them because of who they are, that can be there and kind of coach them and be a tutorial and just and take away the awkwardness of maybe not knowing the liturgy or the songs on the wall or, you know, whatever the things might be. So I think that's a great answer. Yeah. And it's definitely God's heart to see his people come home. If you look, especially in the Old Testament, kind of in the intertestamental time, basically from the minor prophets kind of in between, really in Jeremiah, it just happens over and over and over again that God is saying, come back, come back, come back. Malachi 3:7 says, from the days of your father you've turned aside from my statutes and haven't kept them, return to me and I will return to you. Zechariah 1:3, thus declares the Lord of hosts, return to me and I will return to you. Nehemiah 1:4, but if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though your outcasts are in the uttermost parts of heaven, from there I will gather them and bring them to the place I've chosen and make my name dwell there. Jeremiah 24:7, which that was the name of our college ministry a long time ago, was 24:7. I will give them a heart to know that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart. God is not spiteful. God is not bitter. If you have gotten away from him, he is not waiting there to rub your nose in it and say, ugh, this guy. He is like that father in the prodigal son story, watching from afar off, waiting for you just to turn your heart towards him so he can run towards you. And you know, I think that's so cool.
You know, when I was a younger Christian, when I was first starting off my faith, when I was a couple years in, you know, I would see people come to the youth group and leave the youth group. And when they left and they came back, I would think, oh, and this is like remind you, this is younger me. This is not me now, but younger me would be like, oh, gosh, that person's back. We'll see how long this lasts.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But now that I actually am walking out my faith with Christ, now that I'm actually living that out, now that I'm deeper into my relationship with God and actually acting as a pastor now, when I see someone like that, it's this feeling of joy that just overwhelms me. There was this one person that was in our youth group at one point, and they started going to our church, and I hadn't seen them in so long because they left the youth group randomly, and I didn't know what had happened. And I remember seeing them, and I was just so incredibly overjoyed to see them in church. Because you see somebody leave and you're like, you don't know what happens. You don't know if they left church because they didn't want to go to church ever again. You don't know if the hurt was going to be forever. And so seeing them in church again made my heart so happy. And that's what I feel like God probably feels like when he sees people come back to church who haven't been there in a long time. He's like, oh, my people, I'm so happy that you're back.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe that ought to motivate us. If we started thinking about what God's heart is on it, maybe it could motivate us to say, hey, this person that I haven't seen in a year, in 5 years, maybe it's time for me to reach out to them. You know, we have social media. Yeah. You can find anybody in like a matter of seconds. And, you know, you can go in and you could find someone and just reach out to them and say, oh, my goodness. And right now, as you were even saying that, Neff, people started coming to my mind that used to come. People that show up on my Facebook memories at different church events. And it was like, oh, I was with this person. We went out to eat after church on this day 10 years ago. And where are they now? You know, names start coming into my mind of, I should reach out to this person. I should reach out to this person. I should begin praying again for this person. Because for those of us that are, you know, on the those that have experienced being on the outside, there's nothing better than having somebody on the inside that's kept the light on for you. And where Sony came out with all of this DLC for Spider-Man 2 that made me say, I need to play Spider-Man 2 again. I remember how much happiness I had playing that game, how much enjoyment I had playing that game. And all they needed to do was just get my attention with something that was like, you know, if you come back, we have this and this. I'm not saying that we rely on gimmicks. I'm not saying that we create, you know, flash and substanceless, you know, things that kind of get people. But sometimes the substance just comes in being thought of and being loved and being prayed for and giving someone an excuse to get back to a place where they were much happier and where they were doing something that they really did love and kind of forgot about. So that's my encouragement to you guys today, you know, is like, let's get back into it. Let's get people back into it. If there's ever been a day in your life where you love Jesus more than you love him now, get back to that day. Figure out where the flaw is in your slaw and throw that junk in reverse. Throw an Uno reverse card on that. It looks like Jacob's there worshiping Nick. He's got his hand up. He's like, hallelujah.
Yeah. So, he's showing us the social security number.
That's right. He's giving.
He was talking to his mom.
Julia.
Yes.
We're going to be launching a church, my darling.
I know. I watched service this morning.
Yeah. So for those of you guys that don't know, we couldn't talk about it before because it was kind of top secret. But we started a church 2.5 years ago as a satellite campus of a large church in Orlando, a medium large church in Orlando. And we started with our small little, you know, congregation in Longwood. And, you know, for 2.5 years, we've kind of plugged away as the little brother of this big church. And a couple weeks ago, we had the announcement that we've been working on it for a little while, that we are going to become an independent church, kind of freestanding on our own, unaffiliated. And that's a pretty exciting thing. Today, we made the announcement of the church's name. So Julia texts me right after service. She goes, I'm going to need a new magnet for my car. I'm like, we'll give you all the things, Julia.
Oh, yeah.
All you have to do is come back.
And it's called the Nerd of God Church of God.
You know, so many people message me and they were like, oh, is it going to be Nerd Church? Is it going to be Nerd of God Church? I had one that was like the Jesus Avengers Church, Spider-Man Church. It's like, did you all think that was going to really name my church something that was going to get a cease and desist from Disney? You know, like,
I remember
go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, I just remember after you guys made the announcement, I guess the week prior, and you're like, oh, it's going to be, a standalone church aside from Sanctuary. And you were saying they were going to get a new name, all these things. And I remember I texted you, Tony, and I was like, so we're the church formerly known as
Sanctuary. The FKA, the formerly known as. We're just going to be a symbol like Prince.
Yes, oh, exactly.
You know what's funny, Tony? A couple years ago, we were at a ministry convention, and I remember you were talking to somebody about like what your dream would be for a church.
Yeah.
And it was Nerd Church. It was a church where nerds can come in and be reached. And I think that's either what led to the Nerd of God cast or was the Nerd of God cast.
Yeah.
I believe it might've predated it, but, I just remember that. And so, you know, when there was a moment where I thought you might be calling it the Nerd Church, but you know, I'm glad
the real reason is
I knew that it wasn't going to be the Nerd Church.
The real reason behind that is just because I thought it'd be fun to preach in Jedi robes. That was really, I stood behind, this is not even a joke. I stood behind, I think they were Hindu monks in line at the copy counter at Staples one day, and they were wearing that, they looked like they were dressed like they were from Avatar the Last Airbender, like they were wearing the cool like flowy roby costumes, and I just thought, these guys look so cool and so comfortable. And man, would it be great to be able to preach in a Jedi robe? So that's really the whole origin of the nerd church thing, you know. But realistically, we're doing nerd church. We're reaching out to people that are in the nerd, the geek, the gaming community.
Literally.
So, but for the next 6 months, we're going to be working hard, praying hard to be launching a church that is designed to help people shift the way they view their faith, to help people shift the way they view their story, and to help people shift the way they view the world around them. And we are going to be View Church, V-U-E Church, which is inspired by vision, unity, and engagement. We want to see God in our lives. We want to come together around what God is doing, and then we want to engage the world with what God is doing in our lives. So it all comes from having a clear view of what the Lord is up to, and seeing things in the light, in perspective of eternity. So we're super excited about that. The announcement has been made, so you can get more information by going to view.church, V-U-E.church, and follow along with us, cheer us on, if you will, and please pray for us. And that would be super, super great. We got 6 months. We got to raise about $40,000 in the next 6 months, and hopefully by September 15th, we're going to have a church ready to go, and it'll be amazing. So yeah, we're super excited about it. But again, we launched a church 2.5 years ago, and now we're turning around and getting back into it, just like Spider-Man 2 and the Stanley Parable, all these that we're going to be getting back into all of the old things again. So we're going back into church plant mode, and I'm super, super excited. But we just want to say thank you guys so much for being with us on this kind of quick Zoom podcast episode. And we're going to be back together in the studio soon with everybody, hopefully. So more Nerd of Godcast fun to be had. And thank you guys for listening. Thank you to our Patreon sponsors. We love you guys.
Thank you.
We appreciate everything you do. And you guys are really, really the best. In fact, I want to say thank you so much. We have a new Patreon sponsor. Yay. Colin Sproles Colin Sproles became a new member of our Patreon family, as joining the elite and highly touted people on our— is touted a word? Did I do that right?
It is now. Yeah. You're touted highly, Colin.
Colin, you are highly touted. Awesome. Touted is attempting to sell something by pestering people in an aggressive or bold manner. Okay, so maybe not
highly
touted.
Favored.
You're highly favored. All my shiny friends. We have pestered Colin into supporting us, apparently. If you would like to be a part of the Nerd of Godcast in a financial capacity, you can visit us at patreon.com/nerdofgodcast, patreon.com, and be part of the financial blessing. You can also swing over to our Nerd of God stash on nerdofgodcast.com and purchase some of our merch. We have t-shirts, we got stickers, we got daily Nerd Devo books, and everything that you do goes to help ministry, from the GameStops to the comic shops while GameStops are still in business, and to the conventions happening around this area. We're just trying to bring Jesus to an unreached people group of the indoor kids. So we love doing that, and thank you guys so much for your support. For the Nerd of Godcast, for Steve-O Supremo,
stay fresh, cheese bags.
Oliver, the Jamaican Ollie.
Yeah, man.
The big man, Quentin Neff.
Giddy up, partner.
Nick, the engineer.
Goodbye.
Julia Cameron Colazzo.
Mwah! Love you guys.
And for MegaCon Liz, Jackie Freakin' Wilson, lovely lady Lismati, and who else am I forgetting?
Alexandria,
by God, Marika. We ain't
Charlie.
Got...
Charlotte.
And Charlotte, yeah, for all the other people, for the 97 other people on the show, we ain't got to go home.
But we stay here.
Never works on Zoom. It never works.
It's always good. Oh, so tonight is the Oscars. Actually, the Oscars are happening right now. It's been happening for 6 minutes. The very likelihood that Oppenheimer is going to win Best Picture is pretty high, and it's all because of September 11th, 2001.
Why?
Why?
Oh, wow.
September 11th, 2001, there was a ferry boat traveling from New Jersey to New York City. On that ferry boat was Gerard Way, who was an internship, who was like a, I think a comic book artist at a like small independent comic book company. I might have that little bit of information wrong, but it doesn't matter. On the ferry boat, watched the September 11th attacks from the ferry boat and was so moved by the events that he decided to start a band. The band was My Chemical Romance, which happened for obviously a long time. One of the very big fans and has stated that it was an inspiration for that person was Stephanie Meyer. I believe that's her name. The Twilight. Author of Twilight. Because of Twilight, which also, you know, because of Twilight, we now have the 50 Shades of Grey series, but that's not the tangent that we're going on here. Stephanie Meyer obviously had those crazy popular books that spawned a movie franchise starring Robert Pattinson. Robert Pattinson was so disinterested in the Twilight movie franchise after being in it that he wanted people to take him seriously as an actor. So he started taking a lot of like different roles, like the Batman, like a movie called The Lighthouse. But he also was in a movie called Tenet with Christopher Nolan. Christopher Nolan, as they wrapped the movie, was given a book by Robert Pattinson about the life of J. Robert Oppenheimer. And Christopher Nolan loved that book so much, he's like, I need to make a movie about this. And then made Oppenheimer. Neff, it wasn't a boring story. You can stop acting like that you fell asleep while listening to that.
And they don't think I know a buttload of crap about a buttload of crap, but I do. Okay?